Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
Our goal as God's people, as Christians, is to go to heaven, and we want others to go to heaven. God wants the same thing. He wants us to go to heaven. He actually wants all people to go to heaven. That's the reason He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. But the fact is, not everybody will go to heaven. It's not because it's not God's desire. It's not because they can't. If we are not in heaven when it's all said and done, it will be because we have made the choice, the decision, not to go to heaven. Because God has done all that He can possibly do for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled His role. But see, man still has something that he must do. And even after we become Christians, there are things that we must do in order to remain faithful. It's not simply about starting the race well. We must run and continue and finish the race well as we go through this life and get to the finish line. And when this life is over, when our Lord returns, and brethren, this life is brief at best. So be faithful unto God. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins. And the Lord will add you to the church. If as a child of God, you see that there's sin in your life, be willing to take care of it. Don't try to sweep it under the rug. Don't try to ignore it. Don't try to walk away from it. Acknowledge it, repent of it, and God will forgive you. We want to go to heaven, and we want you to go too. The scripture was read for us by Eric. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. See, there is something that man must do. He must deny himself. Those things that the world does, well, man doesn't want to live like the world. He wants to live like God would have him to live. But now he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, being a Christian is not a Sunday morning only thing. It's something that we do every day of our lives. We follow God with all of our being every single day. Do we fall short? Of course we do. But because of the blood of Christ and because of the mercy of God, brethren, we can be redeemed and forgiven, and we can be in the right relationship with God. And that is indeed a blessing. Read also 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice this, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, we want to bring our thoughts into subjection. Sometimes we can say the right things and go through the right motions, but our thoughts are not what they should be. Well, God even knows what our thoughts are. Even as we're thinking them, God knows what is on our heart, what's on our mind. So God can even see those things. And we are to bring those into subjection to God. Even our thoughts should be those that are of a godly nature. But if we want to be Christians, there are some things that we must do and to continue the race. Too many people, you look out, they started the race. Yes, they repented of their sins. And they did make that good confession. And they were baptized. But for whatever reason, the world has allured them. Satan has deceived them. And they have gone back into the world. And that could be said virtually at any place that the gospel is proclaimed. There's those empty pews that used to be full, but somebody has gone back into the world. They have left the church. They have turned from God to go back into the world. Those beggarly elements, they're not to be compared with the spiritual blessings that God has. They haven't counted the cost of losing their soul. If we're going to be Christians and faithful to God, we must be consistent in the life that we live as a Christian, not hot one day and cold the next. We must serve God on a steady basis. Now, one thing that has swept across the land and really across the world is the Pentecostal movement, where it's based upon a bunch of emotion and some false ideas. But brethren, being a Christian sometimes involves when you don't feel good, you still be a Christian. When you don't want to do certain things, well, sometimes you still do them. Why? Because you are a Christian, and you do them every day. You do good unto those that you have the opportunity to do good unto. As we're told in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, when the opportunity presents itself, we want to do that which is right, and we want to do it on a regular basis. Not just on Sundays, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but every day of our life, I must live in a way that is consistent with the will of God. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. See, we are going to die. The only exceptions will be those that are living when the Lord returns. So it's coming. We know that it's coming. It shouldn't catch us off guard, the fact that we're going to die. Sometimes, especially when somebody's young, they may think that they're going to live forever, but that's not the case. We know by reading God's Word that we're not going to live forever. This body was not designed to. But our spirits will continue after this body is dead and gone. Our spirits will continue to exist where? We either in torment or paradise. That is according to how we live now. But in order to die righteously, you must live righteously every day of your life. In the book of Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, Paul says this, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." See, ultimately, that's where we're going to stand. It's before our Lord in the judgment. Every single one of us. Now it says, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. But all those people won't be saved. Why? Because they waited too long. Oh, those that are atheists now, they won't be atheists on the day of judgment. On the other side, there is no such thing as an atheist. That only exists in this world. See, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But unfortunately for some, they're going to wait too long and they're going to hear the words from our Lord, "Depart, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." But now sometimes that can even happen to members of the body of Christ, those that are Christians. They can fall away from the body of Christ. They can stop being faithful. See, it's something that we must continue to do. But also, if we're going to be a Christian as we should be, we want to set the right example for others. And I see this, unfortunately, way too much. If you see it once, it's too much. But brethren, we need to be the right example for others. And it's easy to judge somebody else. It's easy to say, you need to be this, you need to be that. But it's rather difficult to look at ourselves and say, this is what I need to change about my life. This is what I need to do that is different. It's not really a challenge to look at somebody else and say, this is what you need to do. But the Bible tells us to examine ourselves, to see if we be in the faith. And sometimes I see brethren where all they do is spend a lifetime fighting each other. That's not going to promote anybody to want to be a child of God. Brethren, the example that we set is important. And here's one thing that we have to remember. Even when we are teaching truth, we're not out to win an argument. That is not our purpose in existing. That is not our purpose in obeying the truth. Our purpose is to please God and to teach others. And so we have to be considerate about our example. If I do this, if I say this, if I act this way, will it influence those that are not Christians to become Christians or never to want to be a child of God? If I say and do and act this way, will it cause those that are new converts, will it cause them to want to strive to be stronger in Christ, or will it push them away? Those that have fallen away, if I act this way and say this and do this, will it cause them to want to be restored, or will it push them away? And one way we can do that is, well, you sin. Look what you've done. Well, brethren, that's not the attitude that we can take toward each other. Why? Because we all sin. See, this morning we've asked for forgiveness of our sins. How can we stand before God at His throne and say, God, please forgive me? But then we have no intentions of forgiving those that ask for our forgiveness. It shouldn't be that way with a child of God, should it? We should never be those people that are unwilling to forgive. And one thing we have to be careful about, never put ourselves in the place of God, because we have no right to do that. I saw this morning, and I'm sure that some of you have saw this in our class in the back. We talked a little bit about this. But I saw just a glimpse this morning where the Pope he's almost reached sainthood. Oh, that's incredible. Now he's the blessed. Brethren, the Bible never talks about the Pope, not one single time. Peter wasn't a pope. He was married. At least he had a mother-in-law, so I would say that's safe to say that he was married. That usually comes along with the package. Brethren, the Bible never talks about a pope and working your way towards sainthood. The Bible is silent about those things. It does tell us how to become Christians. It does tell us how to become saints. We do that by obeying the gospel. Now, here's something to think about. If we were going to set up a religious system based upon a pope and a hierarchy, don't you think the Bible would tell us about it at least once? at least one time? No, you have to go to man to get those ideas. You can't find them in the Bible because they're not there. Brethren, look at the Word of God and see what it has to say, because it is our roadmap, it is our guide to heaven, and not what some man has said. I saw where it's talking about some place a million had gathered together so they could just get a glimpse of the Pope. You know, when that's all said and done, what will it profit them? Absolutely nothing. There's people that will not ever see Him, but they have obeyed the gospel, and that is what will benefit man's soul, is to submit to God and His will, to do what God would have us to do. And brethren, when we do what God says, it won't please every man. It won't even please every member of the body of Christ, because some are not happy. Some are in an argument and want to win that argument. But brethren, it will please God. And it will please those that are striving to serve God faithfully. Those people will be glad and they will rejoice, because you also strive to serve God as well. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, we see these words when Paul wrote to the churches, plural, at Galatia. There was more than one congregation there. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, you know, we mentioned some of those other things, but here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. He wrote this to members of the body of Christ, to Christians. He warned them. God knew that man would have a problem with this, didn't He? Members of the body of Christ, sometimes there's envy among them. Sometimes there's jealousies among them. People that are trying to be somewhat, and well, Diotrephes was a man of that nature. And brethren, that's one reason I say we're not out to win an argument. We're out to win souls, because that's what God told us to do. That's what Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we want to do. We want to have this mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus. So we strive to serve Him. There's things about our lives that we'll have to change sometimes. Sometimes we'll have to stop doing certain things, but sometimes we'll have to start doing certain things as well. And we, if we apply ourselves, we'll grow in the Lord, and that will please God. But all of our lives, we're going to find out that we are in a battle with Satan, but we never give up, because the one that we serve is greater than Satan. God is greater than Satan, and we have read the book, and we know who wins in the end, and it's God and those that stand with God. And that's where I want to be on the day of judgment, isn't it, you? I want to be with those that have gained the victory. We read the book of Revelation, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Chapter 2, verse 10. Well, that's what we must do. Be faithful unto death. Not just start well, not go well for a while, and then stop, but we must be faithful as long as we are in this life. Even if it cost us our life, we must still be faithful. Now, if we're going to be faithful, one thing that we're going to have to do and how we're going to be consistent is by reading this Word on a daily basis. We read in Genesis chapter 1, the very first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, just think about that one verse, how much we could spend talking about that. A lot of people out in this world don't believe in God. Well, where did it come from? How come we have such great design in this world? How come we don't have people born with four legs and three legs and one leg and somebody with seven fingers and somebody with eight fingers? Why is that not happening? Because we are born after a design. And we have a designer. And that is God. How do we know those things? We read God's Word. And we see that seed produces after its kind. Well, if you plant beans, you don't plan to go out and harvest corn from those beans. Nobody would do that. So if we plant the seed, the Word of God, what will it make? What will it produce? It will produce children of God, Christians, those that are Christ-like. But brethren, also, if we're going to live as God would have us to live, we must have the right attitude. Not just going and doing the right things. Brethren, there's some people I know, they do have the right doctrine. But the way they handle truth is so dangerous. Because they don't use it in love. Paul said, speak the truth. And there is a standard. There's a standard that we go by. And we are not to deviate from it. But he tells us how to handle that truth. You handle the truth in love. You consider other people. And he even tells them about, in the book of Galatians, about a child of God that has fallen. And he says, you consider yourself. He says, you go to that person in meekness. He says, because it could be you. So we have to be careful about our attitudes. It's easy to look down upon somebody else. But think for a moment. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross because all of us of the age of accountability have sinned. How dare me to look down upon somebody else? Because sin is what brought Jesus to this world. Because man could not pay that price. Jesus was the only thing that could satisfy the demands that were needed. Oh, in the Old Testament, they offered animal sacrifices. But the blood of bulls and goats, it can't take away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, can. And when we are baptized, at that point, baptism, the blood washes away our sins. That's where we contact the blood, is in the death of our Lord, because that's where He shed it. John 19, verse 34, in His death on the cross. And brethren, the only way any of us can be saved, yes, we need to stand for truth. There's no doubt about it. But we have to be careful how we stand and how we conduct ourselves. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4, it's a passage we should know by heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. As God's people, we have a reason to rejoice, don't we? We are God's children. Jesus Christ has died for us. Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us. Jesus Christ is coming back again for us. Where He is, there we can go and be with Him. Brethren, there is a reason to rejoice. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, what God has done, it works to the good, but it says to all those that love God. Now, He qualifies it. Now, what did Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, keeping commandments is not a bad thing. And if we truly love God, it's just as a child, if you love your parents, you will do what they say to do. If we love our Heavenly Father, we will do what our Father has instructed us to do. We will follow Him. We will not say, well, I don't see the need for this, and I'll take this, and I'll leave this. No, we will do all that God has commanded us to do. And also, brethren, if we're going to be what God would have us to be, we need to attend all the services of the church. And brethren, we must grow to this point. We don't come because we have to. Yes, there is obligation. There's no doubt about that. I don't know about you. I need Christian fellowship. I need to be together. People praying with me and for me. And me doing likewise. I need to be together. Singing songs of praise unto God. Teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I need that fellowship. Something else, I desire to be with those that are going to heaven. Don't you? And I want to be around those people now that I will be in heaven with. No, just because we walk through the door of a church building doesn't mean we're saved. But those that are God's people will want to be with God's people and worship together as much as possible. There's times that we're all have sicknesses and things happen that's beyond our control. But I want to be with God's people, the saints, as much as I possibly can because I gain strength from it. By being with my brothers and sisters in Christ, even if I need to be corrected by my own brothers and sisters in Christ, I gain strength by being with them. And as we talked about, not somebody looking down upon each other, but saying, brother or sister, we do want to go to heaven and we want you to go with us. Because we have that love and compassion one for another. So I want to be here as much as I can. And there's something that I look forward to. As Christians, we have hope. Our Lord is coming back. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But we do know for a fact that He's coming back. We read it in His Word. And as we speak, He has gone and He is in the process of preparing a place for us. See, the difficulties that we face in this life, we won't have to continue to always face those. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Whatever physical ailments you may have, whatever bumps you meet in the road, and sometimes those can be very difficult. Look, what we went through with Katrina, and we can imagine what the people in Alabama and other places are going through. We've been in their shoes. And some of those are members of the church that have been affected. And so we want to help all men, especially those of the household of faith. And we are concerned about them. And remember all the prayers that were said on our behalf? We need to be praying on their behalf. Because we know what it's like to be there and have that feeling of everything's been taken away. But you say, it's not the end. I know it, for the moment, it sometimes seems like it. But with Jesus Christ, with God as my Father, I will not stop and I will not look back. Oh, there's times that I will fall short, but I will not stop. Because I am a Christian. And I won't have to have anybody to push me. I do need those to help me because I desire to go to heaven. I desire to be all that I can be. And brethren, I want to also have a good prayer life. Now, a good prayer life is not something that just simply happens. And we must consider what we're doing. And we must take it seriously. God has granted only Christians, only those that are serving Him as they should, He has granted them the privilege of prayer. And what a powerful tool it is. Now, we see those in Alabama and Tennessee and different places, Arkansas, a lot of places have been affected, especially by so many storms. Sometimes you say, well, I don't know what I can do. Oh, maybe that means taking money out of our pocket and doing certain things, giving of our finances, maybe giving of our time. But perhaps we can't do those things. Maybe we can do some of it. But I know one thing we can always do. We can always pray for people. And understand that when you take something before the throne of God, it does matter and God does hear our prayers and God does answer. And God does take care of His children. He never has left us by ourselves, and He never will. And we can take comfort in that. In Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. He didn't say that for no reason. He said it because it's true. And we need to ask God, and we need to understand the power and the privilege that God has given us. In Matthew 21, 22, we see this. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, that's those things that we ask according to God's will. Not something we ask that is wrong, but those things that we ask according to God's will, He hears us. He takes care of us. Not always as man would do it, because man sometimes thinks that he has the best way. God knows better. And sometimes we realize, I'm glad that God didn't give me what I asked for the way that I asked for it, that He did know better. But I am glad that I serve a God that loves me. I am glad that I serve a God that wants me to go to heaven, aren't you? And don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to live in such a way that even if you have fallen short, that you know that God will forgive you? What a wonderful God that we serve that wants us to be in heaven. And yes, it will be worth every single bit of service that we give to our Lord now. Because it pales in comparison to the glory that awaits us on the other side. Yes, we have a God that stands ready to help us. He's already helped us. We need to take advantage of it. He's already sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He's already died. He's already been buried. He's already been resurrected. And He's already ascended back to heaven and sits on His throne. You can go to heaven. You have to be determined to go to heaven. You have to be willing to give up your will. But this morning, if you'll submit to God's will and repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of sins, heaven will be your home as well. And if you're a child of God and there's sin in your life, we're not here to look down upon you. We're here to help you. Because as God's people, we realize that all of us need the same thing. And we all desire to go to the same place. If you ever meet somebody that says they're a member of the church and they look down upon those in sin, they may be a member of the church, but they're not living faithfully. Because we want people to go to heaven. And that's the reason that we're here.